If it pleases the court. My name is Craig Johnson. I represent the appellant Thomas Oates. I'd like to focus my argument on point one concerning the self-defense instruction or the failure to give it.
You need to speak up just a little bit.
Thank you, Your Honor. The trial court in this case correctly determined that the evidence supported the giving of self-defense in the case. As a result, the jury was allowed to consider self-defense as to conventional second-degree murder and the lesser-included offenses of felony murder. However, the trial court refused to allow the jury to consider self-defense as to felony murder. So the issue in this case comes down to a legal one. Self-defense available for felony murder if the underlying predicate felony is a non-forcible felony? Resolving this issue involves the interplay of several statutes involving felony murder and self-defense. It's this court's duty to try to harmonize those statutes, and to the degree there's maybe a indefiniteness of the statute, then the accused gets the benefit of any reading of the statute. First of all, in 2007, the legislature enacted section 563.074, and it also amended 563.031. Now, 563.074 specifically says that if any person uses force as described in 563.031, which is the self-defense statute, that person is justified in using that force, and such facts shall be an absolute defense to criminal prosecution. Now, as I've noted earlier, the trial court did find that the defendant, at least the jury could find that the defendant did use the force as described in 563.031, so that part of the statute is satisfied.
But under your argument, though, would you agree that the statute says that the fact shall be an absolute defense to criminal prosecution? Is that correct?
Right. It does say such fact.
So it's not limited to the person who uses the force as a defense. Was that fair to say? I'll take the next step. So if the person who uses the force is not the defendant, but actually a bystander, but the use of force was justified under one of these statutes, like say, for example, he or she was a law enforcement officer, then couldn't that fact then be also used as a defense by your client or another client charged with felony murder?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the person who actually uses the force that has to be their criminal prosecution.
So what's your basis for thinking that?
Well, because I think the criminal prosecution that they're referring to would be the person who's being prosecuted for using the force. So whoever uses the force, as described in 563, they have a defense to criminal prosecution. And so in my case, my client is the one who used the force in 563.031. And under the statute, that's an absolute defense to criminal prosecution. And criminal prosecution is all-inclusive. There is no exception. So I think you start off with that as the baseline. So defendant uses force justified under the self-defense instruction. So he has an absolute defense to criminal prosecution. Clearly, the legislature can make exceptions to that. And for instance, in the self-defense instruction, at the same time they enacted this statute, they amended 563.031 to now say that if you use force but you are committing a forcible felony, then you can't rely on self-defense. Now, if my client had been engaged in a forcible felony, then he would no longer have an absolute defense to the criminal prosecution as provided by 563.074. But he wasn't committing a forcible felony. The felony that he was alleged to have committed was the attempted distribution of a controlled substance. The facts for the attempt that were set out in the jury instruction was that he approached a car and displayed marijuana. Of course, that was at their request. They're the ones who called him up and asked him to meet them there and to give them the marijuana. So that is not a forcible felony. A forcible felony involves either the use or threat of use of force or physical violence.
And does that have to be an element of the crime, or can it be an intended circumstance of a particular crime?
Well, I think the jurisdictions are split on that. I know Florida says it has to be an element of the crime because the way it says that it uses, the felony uses or involves, I should say, not uses, the felony involves or is a felony involving that. And so the threat and the thing goes back to the felony. Now, Illinois, I think they do look at the attendant circumstances. But even if you look at the attendant circumstances, here the attendant circumstances surrounding the attempt, as instructed to the jury, is approaching a car and displaying marijuana. And that doesn't involve either the use or threat of physical force or violence. And so, therefore, it is not a forcible felony.
Now, the only thing that might extend to that would be the fact that he took the gun with him for protection.
He did, but he didn't display the gun. If he had displayed it, or if he had indicated in any manner, or like an implied threat, then maybe. Although under Florida, the Florida court said, no, you actually look at the elements
of
the offense.
You're saying we don't have to decide that here because under either definition, it wasn't a forcible felony?
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Now, the legislature also could have put an exception within the felony murder instructions. For instance, in duress is another justification type defense. It explicitly says you cannot use duress if it's a homicide or murder is what they actually say, or if the person has recklessly placed himself in a situation where it's going to lead to violence or a threat of violence. Now, the Missouri legislature, it shows that they know how to put an exception within a statute defining a defense. So if the legislature wanted to exempt felony murder, all they had to do in the self-defense instruction is say this doesn't apply to felony murder. They came close to that. They said it doesn't apply to felony murder in essence if it involves a forcible felony. So in other words, you can't rely upon felony murder if it's a forcible felony. Or they could have done like the hazing statute, for instance. There's a hazing statute. There's a consent defense under a certain type of physical activity. And the hazing statute says you can't rely upon that statute under this offense. So the felony murder statute could have said you cannot rely upon self-defense if you commit this offense. So the legislature knows how. In fact, other jurisdictions have similar statutes where they explicitly exempt it. Or the legislature could have said, you can use this physical force under 563.031. You can use this physical force unless the defendant is committing or attempting to commit a felony. Now, if the legislature wanted to cover all felonies, it would have been an easy cover. All they had to do is say a felony. The fact that they use forcible felonies shows in legislative intent that they wanted to confine it. Now, the legislature recently has enacted a lot of legislation concerning self-defense. And there's a concealed carry, there's stand your ground, there's castle doctrine. They have enacted a lot of legislation showing that they want Missourians to be able to use self-defense. Now, they wanted to limit it if the defendant committed a forcible felony. But here we do not have a forcible felony. And so the plain language of the statute of 563.074 is clear. This court duty is to give meaning and to enact and to follow the plain meaning of the statute. It's not this court's duty to say, well, you know, maybe they should have written it different, or maybe they should have covered this other thing. The legislature is free, if they disagree, to go back and change the statute and remove forcible out of the exemption and self-defense, and just say if the defendant's committing a felony, and then it will be covered. Or they can amend the felony murder statute and say you cannot rely upon felony murder. You cannot rely on self-defense if you're committed the offense of felony murder. And I just ask that this court follow the plain language of the statutes.
Does your position require us to overrule Newman and Barnett?
No, I don't think so. First of all, they dealt with an entirely different statute. 563.074 wasn't even enacted. The other thing is those old cases, they involved situations where really they were forcible felonies where the defendant was the initial aggressor. And they would, so they had no right to self-defense under, even actually under current law, because they were committing enforceable felonies and they were the initial aggressors in the event. So no, the court wouldn't have to overrule those cases at all. They're clearly distinguishable and they involved statutes not in effect at the time. I have no other questions. I'll sit down. Thank you.
May it please the court. Under more than 125 years of case law, this court has never held, nor has any Missouri appellate court ever held, that self-defense was a defense to felony murder in a case in which it was not a defense to the felony.
Well, and the statutory scheme has completely changed, though, correct?
Yes, and it's not nearly as favorable to the defendant as it was when those rulings were handed down. At the time those rulings
let's focus our argument on what's really relevant for us to decide today, then, the current statutory scheme, if you will.
Okay. The current statutory scheme for let's look first at the felony murder statute and then at the justification statute. The felony murder statute, after the O'Neill case, had this dicta, this throwaway dicta that was one clause and one sentence that had nothing to do with the issue it was decided. The legislature, 1983, took out every word of that statute that could possibly support a self-defense claim for felony murder. First, in the first-degree murder statute, they took out the words unlawfully kills. So nobody could make the argument that, well, if it's justifiable or excusable, it's not unlawfully killing. And secondly, there was a specific reference in the second-degree murder statute, felony murder statute at that point, the second-degree murder statute that included felony murder, that said, that excluded justifiable or excusable homicide. And yet, despite the fact that that language was there, it was never applied to anything except conventional second-degree murder in that entire nearly 100 years that that language was in that felony murder statute. So at the time O'Neill and these other cases were decided, the language was A, directly in the felony murder statute, not in some separate justification statute, and B, far more favorable to the defendant and far more direct.
Counsel, right now it says forcible felony. Why is the word forcible there?
Because it's a word of additional word of limitation. The legislature wanted to restrict the rights of felons when they're committing crimes, so that they could not commit.
The statute says that you can use self-defense for all these crimes, including everything in 031, and 031 says it applies unless it's a forcible felony. So you can't ignore the word forcible. It said, why did they say it can't apply if it's a felony? They didn't say that. They said forcible felony. Why did they say forcible?
Well, they said forcible because they wanted to add additional limitations, but the additional limitations they added were restricted to forcible felons. But those limitations were already, before that language was added, even forcible felons could make a self-defense claim if it didn't meet one of the other exceptions. I mean, that paragraph, 563.
One of the statutes says that self-defense does not apply to people who committed felonies that were not forcible. Are you giving some meaning to the common law that you're saying it seems to be supplements the statute, but don't we just apply the statute where the legislature is active? We don't supplement it with common law concepts like that. We apply the statute as written.
We apply the felony murder statute. It says it applies to every murder. Then we look at justification and see if that changes things. Justification prior to the addition of that amendment existed even if you were in the act of committing a forcible felony unless you met one of the other two exceptions. There were only two exceptions prior to that amendment. One was initial aggressor.
If you could talk a little more slowly,
okay,
it would help.
Sure.
The court.
One was initial aggressor, and two was if you reasonably, under the circumstances, you reasonably believed the person you sought to protect would not be justified in using protective force. At that point, even if you're in the act of committing forcible felony, if you don't meet one of those two things, you had a self-defense claim. The legislature wanted to take away that self-defense claim in cases of, say, ordinary self-defense. It did not involve lethal force. And it's interesting they chose to add it not in paragraph 2, which is the lethal force section, but in subparagraph 1, which is the ordinary self-defense section. So what they were doing is adding an additional limitation so that people, for example, who are escaping from a crime and maybe shoot a bystander to get away or whatever, after being confronted maybe with a gun, could no longer claim self-defense, whereas prior to that, they arguably would have had that defense. So they're taking away a defense. They're not trying to add a defense. And that's consistent with everything that they did that year. They also added a section that said that if you're the person who's exercising defense, you can use it against any forcible felony, not only against specified forcible felonies. So basically, it's an anti-felon measure. It's not a pro-felon measure that gives you additional rights if you're engaged in a felony.
Your argument is that the self-defense statute used to be more forgiving.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it has never been asserted in a felony murder case, at least in an appellate decision.
It has never been upheld. Yeah,
but we're still left with the language. What in the felony murder statute, or what in the combination of that statute and the self-defense statute, suggests that the defense is not available to that crime while it is to every other?
Well, for one thing, it's not the elements of felony murder are different than the elements of murder or these other crimes. Felony murder is a strict liability offense. It does not have a mens rea attached. It requires only two things: one, that there be a felony, and two, that there be a death. It does not require that the defendant cause the death. A bystander could cause the death. A victim could cause the death. Anybody could cause the death.
So
there's no excusable or justifiable thing for the death element. It only extends to the felony element.
So, I mean, would it be fair to say that it seemed the law seemed to be clear, maybe it wasn't, but it seemed to be clear before this amendment, before 563.074 was enacted, that justification wasn't even necessarily relevant to a felony murder case because it didn't matter. Is that right? All that mattered was whether or not the death was a result of the felony.
Correct.
And because the legislators, we presume, understood that to be the law, that they, I guess the questions you're trying to get is, did they intend to change the law by enacting 563.074?
Yes, and if they wanted to change it, there are multiple ways they could have changed it. I mean, the most direct is you go into the felony murder statute itself that defines the crime and you change it. And you say that it's a defense, just like it used to say, you know, that unless it's a justifiable or excusable homicide. Only you specify that also applies to the felony version as well as the conventional version. They didn't do that. And in fact, this court didn't think they'd done that. You promulgated a new MAI on October 1st of 1984, the day that this statute took effect, in which you laid out the elements of conventional murder, which included did not act in self-defense, and then that's 1304 was the MAI second on that date. But in 1306, which was the MAI second on that date, for felony murder, that element did not exist. There was no did not act in self-defense.
But the absence of self-defense, is that an element of the crime of, say, ordinary second?
If it's brought in as a special negative.
That's my point. Yeah. It is not an element of that crime. It is a special negative.
But the jury has to be instructed on it if it is properly injected in the case.
Right. But
felony, it never came in.
Well, but if it's not an element of ordinary second, why, that makes it not very unusual that it isn't an element of felony second.
Correct. I guess what I'm saying is there was some inference, and in fact it was drawn by the courts, I think adversely and wrongly against us in O'Neill and Starr and some of those cases, that because the other statute had a specific paragraph that was to be inserted when self-defense was injected into the case, that the jury must find that the defendant did not act in self-defense. But the felony murder statute did not have that section of the MAI, that somehow the two were different based on the MAIs.
Well, I could be confused, but it seems like you're arguing that because lack of justification is not an element of felony murder, self-defense doesn't lie. And you contrast that with ordinary second, where you suggest that lack of justification is an element.
Well, it's an excuse. I guess the difference is that in conventional murder, the defendant necessarily was the one who killed the victim. And that can be justified or excused.
It's not true for aiders and abettors.
I'm sorry, not here.
Criminal liability for ordinary second doesn't require that they be the actor. I mean, we have
aiders and abettors. Yeah. Yeah. But in any event, that the defendant is involved in the death, not that it's an accidental death, not that it's a negligent death. And in felony murder, that's different. There's a strict liability. There's only the two elements, the fact that there's a felony and the fact that there's a death. And self-defense doesn't excuse either one of those two elements.
Let's go back to the state of the law.
And they excuse the felony, but not the
Let's go back to the state of the law before these provisions, the self-defense provisions were amended. Before 563.031 was amended to add this, the element of you're not entitled to the defense if you're committing a forcible felony. That assumably existed before then. Is that fair to say? That you could, if, for example, you were in the middle of committing a robbery and you didn't necessarily pull your gun out, but you're in the middle of a robbery and the person who's being robbed pulls a gun out to protect themselves and then the defendant pulled a gun out and shot them, arguably, under the statute, then, the defendant could have raised self-defense under that statute. Are we tracking?
If felony murder were not a strict liability offense, exactly. But this defense would have existed already.
That's where we're going.
Yes.
So, but we didn't allow that because it was a strict liability and justification didn't matter.
Exactly.
And that was the state of the law before these amendments were added. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly.
And so is there any reason to think that that isn't still the state of the law? Is that your argument today?
That's my argument, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, why isn't
it's further restricted than it used to be.
Opposing counsel has said, well, there is good reason to think that, because when they wanted to bar entirely the use of a defense, so a special negative defense like duress, that's what they said. You can't use it. But they only said forcible felonies. They did not exclude felony murder, and they were being specific in these statutes as to what self-defense is a defense to, and what it can be used as a justification for, and where it can't. And duress, they were very clear, and they said forcible felonies here. They did not say, but exclude felony murder. They were specific as to that it can be used for all these crimes except as this exception for these forcible felonies.
That's true, Justice, except that, as Judge Powell says, that was the state of the law prior to that.
They're asking us to read something into it that's not there, whatever it was before, and the legislature certainly could have continued that, assuming that was the state of the law before.
And they did.
But where did they? They don't say that. They say it applies unless you meet this exception of forcible felony. And you're asking us to read into it, and that other thing that we're not mentioning, but you should know it doesn't apply there either. But we have to apply the statute. How would we assume that some common law doctrine modifies it when it's not mentioned there, and when in other circumstances when they intend a special negative not to apply, they're specific about that. They listed.
Yes, Judge, that language was not in there before either, and we still held it, didn't it?
Well, tell me why that's right, counsel.
Because it's a strict liability offense. The only elements of the offense are that there's a felony and there's a death.
It doesn't
if it
say
excuses
that, though.
The felony,
where does the statute tell us that? I know you're saying that. You're saying that was what it was at common law. The legislature can change that, and they appear to have done so if you look at the statutes. I'm unclear what in the statutes indicates they did not intend it to apply to felony murder.
Well, it never applied.
Aren't you asking us to find an ambiguity that's not there in the statute? And so to construe something, but it has to be ambiguous first for us to do that.
It was never there to begin with. In 150 years, you've said that it's a strict liability crime, it's not a defense, even when there was language specifically stating in the felony murder statute that unless it was justifiable or excusable. You never applied that language.
But they added this thing saying forcible felony now, which wasn't there before, so that...
They added that as an additional restriction, not as an additional license. Before, the only restrictions were initial aggressor or the person that they were protecting did not have the right to use protective force. So those were the only two exceptions to applying that defense. And yet you never applied it. And now they add on an additional restriction that, by the way, in addition to those two restrictions, even if you're not the initial aggressor.
But if they chose to list situations where it didn't apply and didn't include this one, don't we infer from that they didn't include this one?
Not from additional words of limitation. I don't know how you get additional license from additional words of limitation.
Thank you.
That's my best I can do, Judge.
You say felony murder is strict liability, but I think I don't know what that means. The elements of felony murder are the elements of felony murder, and lack of justification isn't one of them. Correct. But lack of justification isn't an element of ordinary second or first.
Correct.
So that doesn't make felony murder special. It's certainly not for purposes of self-defense, of justification. I'm trying to figure out why. Your position is self-defense has never applied to felony murder and doesn't now. Correct. Why is that true? What about the statute precludes a self-defense instruction and
because all it requires is that there be a death which occurs in the course of perpetrating, attempting to perpetrate, or escaping from the perpetration.
Right, but all first-degree murder requires is an intentional killing with premeditation. You're just reciting the elements of the crime, but they don't say anything about lack of justification.
But if that was the law, Judge, I mean, we'd had 150 years.
I get that. That okay. If you look at the statutes, we would have had self-defense and felony murder all along. Mm-hmm. But the argument from appellant is that we have never addressed a situation in which the defense would have lied or would not lie now. In other words, they were all forcible felonies, and they weren't even real self-defense cases. There wasn't ground to instruct on self-defense, even if self-defense had been available.
I think, although I don't know the name of the case, there was even a case where there was a robbery in progress, and the officer that was responding to the robbery got in an auto accident, and you applied felony murder in that case.
Your time is up, Kessler.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnston, you don't allege that the statute prevents him from being prosecuted for distributing drugs.
No.
So there's some limitation on what the criminal prosecution is for.
Right.
And it has to be for what?
Well, it has to be, it's a limitation as to the when you're using the act of force, because it says uses force as described in 563.031.
So it is an absolute defense for prosecution for that use of force.
Right, for the use of force.
And how is felony murder a prosecution for that use of force?
Because it involves the killing of a person. In other words, the defendant used the force.
But defendant doesn't have to have killed the person.
He doesn't, but that's right. In which case, he couldn't rely on 563.074 because he wouldn't be acting in self-defense. So 563.074 says that the person has to be using the force described in 563.074.
Right. So the bar to criminal prosecution is limited to prosecution for offenses for using that force.
For offenses using the force, which
and,
in this
and
case.
And in felony murder, there's no element that the defendant used that force.
But there's an element that there has to be a killing involved in this time, in this
but,
fact.
But it's not that defendant used the force to accomplish the killing.
Well, it's a defense to the killing, not to the use of force. If you kill someone, it's a defense to your being prosecuted for that killing if you killed them in self-defense, unless you were committing a forcible felony.
Exactly. So but in other
except
words...
Except that there's no element...
Well,
that you are the one
killing.
Who is forced to
there
kill
has to be, there has to be a felony committed and there has to be a killing, that somebody has to be killed as a result of that felony. And here the only reason why there was a killing involved is because the defendant was exercising his use of self-defense under 563.031.
Now I think we're back to Judge Powell's question about whether or not the force has to have been the defendant's. When in ordinary felony murder, we don't care where the force came from. We care only that it occurs as a result of the felony.
Well, but the person, 563.074 says that the person who uses the force described in 563 is justified. So the person who uses the force, so here, my client was a person using the force and he was justified.
And that leads to the question that was raised in opposing counsel's brief. So the girlfriend, who arguably was there for the drug deal, could have been charged with felony murder, and she wouldn't have had this defense under your theory.
Potentially, yes, because she didn't use the force. Now, it's kind of like we have a situation like in acting in concert. If somebody's actually acquitted, you can still be found guilty of aiding the principal, even though the principal was found not guilty.
Your point is only you have a right to defend yourself unless you're committing a forcible felony, and this thing simply recognizes that. It doesn't say nobody can be convicted of a crime in that situation.
Exactly.
But you have a right to self-defense, which is not defeated by the fact you were committing a nonviolent, nonforcible felony.
Correct. So in other words, my client had the right to use force and act in self-defense, and he can't be prosecuted for using that force.
Mm-hmm. So if you're, I don't know if there's a felony trespass, but there might be. So if you're committing a felony trespass, which is a non-forcible felony, and you're accosted, you think you'd have the right to use deadly force to defend yourself?
Well, whether or not you can use deadly force, maybe you may have the right to use force, but mm-hmm. I don't know about deadly force. It depends on how you were accosted, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, I mean, this that so kind of points up.
If I'm a homeowner and somebody's trespassing, committing a burglary, well,
that's a forcible felony.
Yeah, that is. They're walking through my yard. I confront them with a shotgun, and the other person can pull a pistol and shoot me. A trespasser can pull a pistol and shoot me. That's essentially what we said here.
Right. So you wouldn't be committing a felony, but so there wouldn't be any felony murder involved.
But the problem with the hypothetical, that's I think, is the same as the problem with this case. The real argument is that the murder was not the result of the underlying felony.
Right.
So isn't that the defense?
It's not a self-defense argument. It's an argument that the element of felony murder as a result of was not proven, because the felony, the underlying drug deal had nothing to do with the debt. They were unrelated except in time and place.
But if it was not justified, then it was related. If it arose out of those circumstances, that's why you get hit for felony murder, unless it's justified, or you're defending someone else's life and you have a right to do that in the course of it.
Correct.
But if you cause the situation, then our cases do treat it as arising out of the felony.
Right. If he caused the situation, that would be a different matter. But the only reason he killed somebody, the only reason there's felony murder is because he was acting in self-defense. If he wasn't acting in self-defense, we wouldn't have somebody dead.
Actually,
what
our case law says is there, if there's an independent act outside of the felony, then that would be an argument that the death wasn't a result of the felony.
Yeah.
So that's always been a defense that could be brought in felony murder that's existed.
Well, in which case the defendant would be not guilty if the death wasn't as a result.
But isn't
of
that the isn't that the defense, not justification? Because as opposing counsel stated, that this is justification has never been allowed to be used in felony murder, but this could still be a defense in this particular case because that wasn't the result of the death.
But I think there's two different things, and the evidence to sufficiency is viewed in the light most favorable to the state, and the evidence for the instruction is viewed in the light most favorable to the defendant. So they're not. To judge whether or not the felony occurred as a result, you're not viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the defense.
Well, it may go to prejudice, because the argument is still there whether the self-defense instruction is given. The argument that you would make under self-defense, you could have made, and in fact maybe did make, under the rubric of the as a result of element.
But the defense counsel did argue that because he was stuck on the felony murder without the self-defense, did argue that it wasn't caused as a result of.
Because the there's nothing about the drug deal that would have led to the buyer suddenly pulling a gun and threatening deadly force.
But I think you could have two different things. You could have the challenge to sufficiency, and that the jury also should be able to consider an instruction on felony murder.
If the jury found it was still part of it, they could still find you acted in self-defense, because the statute permits it.
Exactly. Right.
You're out of time. Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
It was a well-argued case. Mm-hmm.